disobeying Allah. Alladheena yanquduna ahdallahi min ba'di mithaqih wa yaqta'una ma amara Allahu bihi an yusal wa yufsiduna fil ard. Those who break Allah's covenant after ratifying it. What is Allah's covenant? We know from the Quran that before creation, all the spirits were gathered together and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked all of us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? And we all affirmed, بَلَى Indeed you are our Lord. Now we might not bear conscious memory of this fact. So when we came into this world, Allah sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remind us of this fact. And when we say La ilaha illallah, we are actually reaffirming that fact which we have already taken. Allah says, those people who are the fasiqeen, who are those who disobey Allah, who break La ilaha illallah, who don't follow the commands of Allah alone. They're busy following their own desires. And they break that which Allah has ordered to be joined. What is this a reference to? People who cut ties of relationships. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ad-deenu nasiha. Deen is well-wishing. Beautifully it's both linked, the rights of Allah and the rights of people upon us. Someone who disobeys Allah will inevitably end up injuring or violating the rights of people as well. Someone who's disobeying Allah, who's not listening to Allah, is not just harming Allah's rights, he will end up violating humans' rights as well. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ And they create mischief in the land. They create disorder, corruption, wherever they go. It is they who are the losers. How ironical. People pride themselves on their sophistication when they say, oh, we don't need the Quran, we don't need Allah. And they think they're really sophisticated. Allah says it is they who are the losers. Now we've read about the fourth category of mankind. Again, let's stop, take a look at ourselves. Which category do we come under? Everyone should be worried about themselves rather than passing judgments on others. Are we amongst the muttaqeen? Or is it the kafirin? Or the munafiqeen? Or God forbid, the fasiqeen? Allah asks us, how can you disbelieve in Allah? How can you disobey Allah? Seeing that you were dead and He gave you life, then He will give you death, then again will bring you to life. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجِعُونَ Then to Him you will return. How does man get the temerity to disobey Allah when it is Allah who is the source of his life and the source of his death? It is Allah who created for you all that is on earth. Then He rose towards the heaven and made them seven heavens, and He is the all-knower of everything. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ Now Allah tells us the most beautiful story, the story of our creation, the story of Adam alayhi salam. See, right in the beginning of the Quran, Allah tells us about our ancestor. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Remember when your Lord said to the angels, see, Allah says, رَبُّكَ, your Lord. It's a moment of intimacy with Allah, bonding with Allah. Indeed, I am going to place generations after generations on earth. They said, will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you? Allah said, I know that which you do not know. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced to the angels that I am going to create man on earth, Allah meant by that man will be given free will. He will be given the choice of obeying or disobeying Allah. Now the angel's instant response was, why do you need man when we're there for your ibadah? Allah says, I know that which you do not know. Now from this we learn that Adam alayhi salam and his subsequent descendants were going to fulfill a purpose which was deeper than that of the angels. What was the need for man when the angels were doing Allah's tasbih all the time? Allah says, I know that which you do not know. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا And Allah taught Adam all the names. What names were these? Allah taught Adam alayhi salam conceptual thought. In other words, Allah taught Adam alayhi salam the secrets of the universe. This ayat has awesome implications. We have this concept that if you turn towards Islam, worldly knowledge is haram for you, or worldly knowledge is irrelevant. But we learn from this ayat that the first knowledge taught to Adam alayhi salam was knowledge of the universe, knowledge of the world as you can call it. Why? Why was this knowledge given to Adam alayhi salam? To teach us that ibadah is not just prayers, it's not just fasting and zikr. That's an aspect of ibadah. But another aspect of ibadah is discovering the secrets of this universe so we can appreciate Allah's glory even more. So our understanding of Allah is enriched. See, the angels were fulfilling that aspect. They were doing tasbih and zikr. Why then did the need for Adam alayhi salam arise? So Adam alayhi salam and his descendants and generations could discover Allah's glory by exploring this universe. Then he showed them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are truthful. The angels said, Subhanaka, glory be to you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Indeed, it is you, the all-knower, the all-wise. He said, O Adam, inform them of their names. And when he had informed them of their names, Allah said, did I not tell you that I know the unseen in the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing? And remember when we said to the angels, Usjudu li Adam, prostrate yourselves before Adam. What a moment of honor for all mankind. Why was mankind declared Ashraful Makhluqat? Because of this worldly knowledge. When man worships Allah, all the more because of that worldly knowledge he possesses, his ibadah becomes even more precious in Allah's eyes. And they prostrated except Shaitan. He refused, was takbara, and was arrogant, wa kana min al-kafirin, and was one of the disbelievers. Look at the sequence of the words. He refused. When we think about when we refuse to obey Allah, when we refuse to obey any one of Allah's commands, whether it's salat or, you know, giving up backbiting, whatever it is. He refused, thus he was arrogant, thus he became one of the kafirin. All three are linked. And we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in Jannah. This is equality of the sexes here. Not that, O Adam, you can go wherever you like, but your wife can only go certain places. Both of you dwell in Jannah and eat both of you freely, with pleasure and delight, of things therein, as wherever you will, but come not near this tree, or you will both be of the wrongdoers. Really, this sojourn in Jannah embodies or symbolizes their sojourn in dunya. This is Islamic positive thinking. Everything is halal, everything is allowed, except a few things which are forbidden. See, everything in Jannah was halal, only one tree was forbidden. The same applies for this worldly sojourn of ours. Everything is halal, only a few things are forbidden. Why are they forbidden? As a test for us. فَأَذَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا Shaitan made them both slip from there and got them out from that in which they were. Again, Allah negates the concept, the Christian concept of Eve the temptress. It wasn't that Shaitan, you know, tempted Eve and then she tempted Adam. No. فَأَذَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ Shaitan made them both slip therefrom and got them out from that in which they were. We said, get you down, all, with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Then Adam received from his Lord words, and Allah forgave him. His Lord forgave him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Indeed, it is Allah, the one who forgives, the most merciful. After this disobedience, after Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah, look at the mercy that Allah showed to all of us. Then Adam received from his Lord forgiveness. Words. Which words were these? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, and you do not have mercy upon us, we shall surely be of the losers. Allah says, and then I forgave him. See, Allah is teaching us that if you make a mistake, if you slip, ask my forgiveness and I will forgive you. As Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, Ya ibadi innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar. O my slaves, you sin day and night. Wa ana aghfiru dhunuba jamia. But I forgive all sins. Fastaghfiruni. So ask my forgiveness. Aghfir lakum. I will definitely forgive you. One very important lesson we learn from this story is the difference between man and shaitan. When man sins and he repents and he turns to Allah, Allah forgives him. Shaitan also made a mistake, but shaitan did not repent. Now we can think about it. Whom do we wish to emulate? Adam alayhi salam or shaitan when he was arrogant? Allah says, we said, get down all of you from this place. Then whenever there comes to you guidance from me, and whoever follows my guidance, there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. This is a promise of divine guidance. Say Allah's rahmah upon man. He doesn't say, all right, Adam, because you sinned, you're going to suffer for it. Allah forgives him, and Allah tells him that for your future generations, there will be divine guidance. And this Quran that we are reading today is the fulfillment of that promise. فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَا Whoever follows my guidance, not just reads it or recites it once every Ramzan, whoever follows my guidance, acts upon it, conveys it. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ No fears and no griefs. And Allah says, and those who disbelieve and belie our signs, such are the dwellers of the fire. They shall abide therein forever. Now the next 84 verses are a discourse upon Bani Israel. Now we need to understand before we start reading those verses, why has Allah mentioned Bani Israel? Why has Allah mentioned the Jews over here? See, the Jews were the chosen ummah before the Muslims. Allah tells us a tale of their broken covenant. It's a tale of treachery, disobedience and ingratitude. Why does Allah tell us how they violated their pact with Allah? Is it because the Quran is an anti-Semitic discourse? It's anti-Jews? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding up a case study. You know, in a case study you analyze what went wrong. In the same way, since the Jews were our predecessors, Allah is warning us, this is where they went wrong. This is why dishonor was taken away from them. So, O Muslims, analyze yourselves. Now, when we read these verses, we shouldn't be thinking, oh, these sinful Jews. We should be applying it to ourselves. I'm thinking, does the Muslim Ummah possess these faults today? And if the Muslim Ummah does possess these shortcomings, then we know what to expect. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill my covenant so that I fulfill your covenant, and fear none but me. Muslims nowadays lament, why doesn't Allah help us? Why are the Muslims downtrodden? It's simple. Allah is saying, when you fulfill your covenant, then will I fulfill my covenant. And Allah's help comes only to those who are obeying Allah. And believe in what I have sent down, confirming that which is with you, and be not the first to disbelieve therein, and buy not with my verses a small price, and fear me and me alone. And mix not truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth while you know the truth. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And perform salat, and give zakat, and bow down along with those who bow down. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Do you enjoin righteousness on people? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget yourselves? When we preach the truth, but we're not practicing it, Allah dislikes this intensely. While you recite the book, have you then no sense? وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. And seek help in sabr and prayer. And truly prayer is extremely heavy, extremely difficult, except for those who are humble. Those who know that they are going to meet their Lord and that to Him they will return. Sabr and salat are the two most important weapons, the most valuable weapons a mu'min has been given in his quest. What are they? Sabr and salat. Sabr has three connotations. Number one, that we persevere in good deeds. We are constant in good deeds. Number two, we are constant in abstaining from evil. And number three, that we are patient at times of difficulty. Allah links sabr and salat together. Why? Because salat alone sustains sabr, and only one who is patient can read the five prayers regularly with observance of all the rules therein. Allah says this is possible only for the humble ones who know that they are going to meet their Lord and that to Him they will return. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you and that I preferred you to the world. And fear a day of judgment when a person shall not help another, nor will intercession be accepted from him, nor will compensation be taken from him, nor will they be helped. The four worldly props that we rely on, we get in trouble, we ring up our friends, we ring up people we know, people who have influence, we pull a few strings and we're forgiven our sins and we're let off the hook. Allah says on that day, all these worldly props will fail you. Fear a day when a person shall not be able to help another. And remember, when we delivered you from Pharaoh's people, who were afflicting you with a terrible torment, killing your sons and sparing your women, and therein was a mighty trial from your Lord. And remember, when we separated the sea for you, and saved you, and drowned Pharaoh's people while you were looking. And remember, when we appointed for Musa 40 nights, and you took the calf for worship, and you were wrongdoers. Then after that we forgave you so that you might be grateful. It's a catalogue of the past sins of the Jews. And remember when we gave Musa the book and the criterion of right and wrong so that you could be guided aright. What happened was that while Musa alayhi salam had gone up to Mount Sinai to commune with Allah, the Jews built a calf out of gold and they started worshipping it. Now when Musa alayhi salam returned to his people, he said to them, O my people, indeed you have wronged yourselves by worshipping the calf. So turn in repentance to your Creator and kill yourselves. That will be better for you with your Creator. Then he accepted your repentance. Truly he is the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. And remember when you said, O Musa, we shall never believe in you until we see Allah plainly. But you were seized with a thunderbolt while you were looking. Then we raised you up after your death so that you might be grateful. About 70 Jews went with Musa alayhi salam. And when they went there, suddenly a fit of arrogance seized them and they started saying, we'll only believe in Allah when we see him. So Allah killed them all because of their insolence. But then Musa alayhi salam pleaded with Allah, O Allah, grant them life. So they were raised up after their death so that the people could see for themselves and believe in resurrection. And we shaded you with clouds and sent down on you manna and the quails, saying, eat of the good lawful things we have provided for you. And they did not wrong us, but they wronged themselves. This is the tragedy of man when he sins. Allah is not affected. Allah doesn't care whether we sin or not. It's His mercy upon us that He keeps on reminding us not to sin. Allah says, remember, you alone suffer when you sin. And remember when we said, enter this town and eat bountifully therein with pleasure and delight wherever you wish and enter the gate in prostration. And say, forgive us, and we shall forgive you your sins and shall increase reward for the good doers. But those who did wrong changed the word from that which had been told to them for another. So we sent upon the wrongdoers a punishment from the heaven because of their rebelling against Allah's obedience. And remember when Musa asked for water for his people, we said, strike the stone with your stick, then gush therefrom 12 springs. For the 12 tribes of Israel. Each group of people knew its own place for water. Kulu washrabu min rizqillah. Eat and drink of that which Allah has provided. Wala ta'asaw fil ardi mufsidin. And do not act corruptly, making mischief on the earth. This is the beautiful viewpoint of Islam. Allah says, utilize the blessings which I have given you, but stay within the boundaries of obedience. And remember when you said, O Musa, we cannot endure one kind of food. So invoke your Lord for us to bring forth for us what the earth grows, its herbs, its cucumbers, its wheat, its lentils and its onions. He said, would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? Go you down to any town and you shall find what you want. See, the Jews had been sentenced to leading this life in the desert. And the reason for that was not because it was a sadistic punishment. It was so that desert life could again inculcate within them the spirit of nobility, the spirit of jihad which they had lost out on. But the Jews rejected that desert life and they said, no, we want a cozy little suburban existence. Allah says, and they were covered with humiliation and misery. And they drew on themselves the wrath of Allah. Now you might say, well, the Jews are, the most powerful world power today and they control the media and they control the finance system and they control everything. If you think about it, one of the ironies of the Jews is that they love to portray themselves as the persecuted ones. And if ever they show documentaries, they'll always portray themselves as the poor, miserable Jews who've been ill-treated by everyone in the world. Allah says, they were covered with humiliation and misery. And this could be one aspect of Allah's punishment upon them, that they themselves perceive themselves as being ill-treated and wretched and persecuted. And they drew on themselves the wrath of Allah. Why did this happen? This was because they used to disbelieve the signs of Allah. They rejected, they disobeyed, they distorted the commands of Allah. And they used to kill the prophets wrongfully. That was because they disobeyed and used to transgress the bounds. Now we can think about it. Are we Muslims obeying Allah? We don't even know what's in the Quran. Forget implementing what's in it. Are we transgressing the bounds today? If we are, then we know what to expect. Now Allah goes on to say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, those who believe and those who are Jews and Christians and Sabians, whoever believes in Allah in the last day and does good deeds shall have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. So this ayat needs to be understood because it's one of the most misquoted and misunderstood ayat of the Quran. People read this ayat and say, oh fine, Allah is saying that it doesn't matter whatever religion you follow, as long as you believe in Allah on the last day, you will be forgiven. The point to remember is that we can't just take one ayat from the Quran out of context and base our tafsir or base our creed upon that one ayat. We need to understand this ayat as a part of the whole. Now earlier on we've already read the description of the muttaqeen. Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaib, those who believe in ghaib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined al ghaib, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers, all His messengers, and the last day, and that you believe in destiny. We have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's definition. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has simply given us a brief summary of iman, that you believe in Allah and you believe in the last day. And if you look at the opening verses of Al-Baqarah, you'll find it starts with yu'minuna bil ghaib and it ends with bil akhirati hum yuqinun, they believe with certainty in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply stated a brief summary of faith here. For the details of iman in al-ghaib, we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Quran. So Allah says, whether someone was a Jew or a Christian or a Sabian, provided they believe in Allah and in all aspects of al-ghayb, they shall have their reward with their Lord. And O children of Israel, remember when we took your covenant and we raised above you the mount, saying, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ, hold fast to that which we have given you, وَذْكُرُوا مَا فِي, and remember that which is therein, so that you may become Allah conscious. This is the relationship we are supposed to have with the Divine Book. What is that? Knowledge and acting upon it. This is our relationship with the Quran as it should be. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ, act upon it and know what's in it. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to have knowledge of the Quran, oh, I'm going to know the grammar of the Quran, but I'm not acting upon it. And I can't just say, well, you know, I've just read the Quran once and I think I know what it means, so I'm going to act upon it according to my own interpretation. We need deep knowledge and we need complete implementation. Then after that you turned away. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, indeed you would have been among the losers. And indeed you knew those amongst you who transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath. For the Jews the Sabbath was sacred, and on Saturdays they were not supposed to do work of any sort. There was this fishing village, and what they used to do was that they would place their nets on Friday night and collect them on Sunday morning, which was of course equivalent. Muslims today also delight in, you know, saying things like that, oh yes, you know, we're following the letter of the law. Allah says, what happened to these people? We said to them, become monkeys, despised and rejected. So we made this punishment an example to their own and to succeeding generations, and a lesson to those who are Allah conscious. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا, and remember when Musa said to his people, indeed Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They said, do you make fun of us? He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I seek Allah's refuge from being among the ignorant. What had happened was that a man was killed amongst the Jews, and the true murderer framed an innocent man for that crime. This is one tradition that I'm relating. So when the people came to Musa alayhi salam seeking a solution, he said, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. Now, what happened was that the Jews actually in their heart of hearts revered and partially worshipped the cow because of their long sojourn in Egypt where the cow was held sacred. So, you know, instead of saying what was in their heart, they said, are you making fun of us? Why should we do that? So he said, I seek Allah's refuge from being among the ignorant, that I would never joke about something like this. Now, because they didn't want to obey Allah, they started coming up with excuses. They said, call upon your Lord for us that He may make plain to us what it is. He said, Allah says, indeed it is a cow, neither too old nor too young, but it is between the two conditions. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ, so do what you are commanded. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us its color. He said, Allah says, it is a yellow cow, bright in its color, pleasing the beholders. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us what it is. Indeed to us all cows are alike, and surely if Allah wills, we will be guided. Musa said, he says, it is a cow neither trained to till the soil, nor water the fields, sound, having no other color except bright yellow. They said, now you have brought the truth. Now you can see as they got more and more into this hair splitting and wanting to know every little detail, the more difficult it became for them. But ultimately what happened? So they slaughtered it, although they were near to not doing it. Eventually they did obey Allah, but after great difficulty. And when you killed a man and fell into dispute amongst yourselves as to the crime, but Allah brought forth that which you were hiding. So we said, strike the dead man with a piece of the cow. This is one interpretation, that after they'd sacrificed the cow and they struck the corpse with a part of the cow, the dead man rose to life and told them the name of the murderer. But this is just one tradition. Thus Allah brings the dead to life and shows you His signs, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, in order that you may understand. What happened after this incident, after this clear proof of resurrection. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then after that your hearts were hardened and became as stones or even worse in hardness. And indeed they are stones out of which rivers gush forth. And indeed they are stones which split asunder so that water flows from them. They are stones which fall down for fear of Allah. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. This is a very beautiful ayat in which Allah describes the hardness of the hearts. How do we tell whether our heart is hard or not? How do we avoid this spiritual situation? The Prophet ﷺ told us, do not speak excessively without remembering Allah. In other words, don't have many conversations in which you're not mentioning Allah at all. You should mention Allah from time to time. Why? Because he said an excessive speech, بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, without remembering Allah, is a sign of the hardness of hearts. And the person whose heart is hard is the one who is most removed, who is farthest from Allah's mercy. Now we can think about our conversations. When we are speaking to our friends, to our loved ones, to our relatives, what is it that we speak of? Do we remember to remember Allah? Or are we just too busy gossiping to remember Allah? The Prophet ﷺ also said that there are four signs of misfortune. Number one, Jumudul Ain, one who does not weep. And this is weeping when you hear the Quran, weeping when you think of Allah. Jumudul Ain, the one who does not weep, who cannot weep. We cry readily enough if someone insults us, but how often do we cry when we read the Quran? The second sign of misfortune, someone whose heart is hard. The third sign, someone who has unrealistic hopes. And the fourth, someone who is greedy for this world. Unrealistic hopes, he keeps on thinking, oh yes, I've got plenty of time to obey Allah, plenty of time to turn to Allah, I'm too young right now. And the one who is greedy for the world, he's too obsessed with the world to think of the hereafter. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what you do. Do you Muslims covet that they will believe in your religion? In spite of the fact that a party of them used to hear the word of Allah, then they used to change it knowingly after they understood it. Now Allah comes to contemporary Jewish actions. First Allah told us their past, now Allah tells us their present. Allah addresses the Muslims and says, O Muslims, are you naive enough to think that these Jews will accept Islam? Although some of them, and this refers to their scholars, used to hear the word of Allah and then they used to change it knowingly after they understood it. And when the Jews meet those who believe, that is the Muslims, they say, we believe. But when they meet one another in private, they say, shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that they may argue with you about it before your Lord? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have you then no understanding? Do these Jews, don't they know that Allah knows what they conceal and what they reveal? وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. This is a very important ayat. Indeed, there are among them illiterates who do not know Al-Kitab, their divine book. What is our definition of an illiterate? Someone who is not educated. What is Allah's definition of illiterate? Someone who doesn't have knowledge of Al-Kitab, of this Quran. They trust upon false desires. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Allah says implacably, they but guess. They have no proof of this.